I'm now joined with Pat O'Sullivan, General Manager of Sea Life Bray Aquarium, to discuss the rising numbers of jellyfish in Irish coastal waters and also how they can still be quite dangerous even after being washed ashore. Good afternoon, Pat. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Johnny. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're most welcome. Pat, each summer we are seeing more and more jellyfish, and there are a number of reasons for this. The two main reasons are overfishing and climate change. So how is it that overfishing causes an increase in the number of jellyfish in our waters?
Yes, I mean, there are quite a number of reasons for the increase in number of jellyfish, although scientists will argue as to whether there is actually an overall increase in numbers, but the general consensus is that there is. In relation to overfishing, what you need to understand about the marine world is that, you know, I like to compare it to a big circle of life, you know, and you've got lots of predator and you've got lots of prey, and you know, one feeds off the other, and that allows those different species to survive and thrive. But where you get an imbalance in that and you then have predators taken out of the loop, well, then that will obviously lead to an increase in the prey. So jellyfish are prey to a variety of marine animals out there, and amongst them fish, crustaceans, as in shellfish and lobsters and crabs and the such like, and larger animals such as leatherback turtles. So when those numbers are cut back, you then have less control on the jellyfish populations, and therefore you have more jellyfish. It's kind of simple maths on one level, you know, if there's less of them being eaten and they're reproducing at the same rate, you will end up with more of them. That's the short answer to how overfishing contributes to a growth in the jellyfish population.
Okay, and how about climate change? How does that contribute?
Climate change, you know, is more around the rise in water temperatures creating better conditions for the breeding of jellyfish. So they're more successful in their reproduction, which means that more of them are reproduced, more of them survive. And also then with global warming, you can get an increase in planktons, and that's what a lot of jellyfish feed off. And so therefore those numbers grow as well. But I suppose it's like everything else. It's a combination of these factors that result in these increased numbers and these increased sightings.
Okay. And is it true that jellyfish thrive on agriculture and animal waste and also on sewage?
Yes and no. Strictly speaking, they don't thrive on it. But what happens is that with the runoff, agricultural runoff from fertilizers and farm runoff and sewage as well, you just end up with a much bigger increase in nutrients in the water, which lead to a growth in algae and other marine plant life. And the increase in nutrients also ends up, you know, robbing the sea of levels of oxygen. And those levels, you know, mean that other predators, for example, you know, will struggle to live in those areas. But jellyfish are actually relatively undisturbed because they can live in a fairly low oxygen environment. So it just means that where you have these kind of runoffs and, nutrients going into the sea, you then end up with a low oxygen environment, which is much more beneficial to jellyfish than it is to other creatures. So other creatures don't thrive, jellyfish do. So therefore, you have a cap on those other creatures and you have an increase in the number of jellyfish.
Okay, so the most common type in Ireland are moon jellyfish. Tell us how they look and what months of the year they appear as sightings in Irish coastal waters.
Moon jellyfish, to the naked eye in the water, they're actually quite hard to see because they're almost transparent. You know, they're almost see through. I mean, they've got a relatively small diameter, a couple of centimeters. The largest moon jellyfish might have a bell, which has a diameter of between 5 and 10 centimeters. So it's not, it's not a very big jellyfish. It is fairly transparent, so it just looks like clear jelly, and it actually has quite short tentacles.
Oh, okay. But the sting from the moon jellyfish is quite mild, isn't it?
Oh.
It's like a nettle sting or something, I think.
It's not even that strong. I mean, you could probably hold a moon jelly in your hand and not feel anything. that said, I mean, kind of the skin in your hand is tougher, you know, kind of, whereas if it rubbed against your belly or the inside of your arm, which is a much more sensitive area, you might feel a mild sensation, but, you know, kind of, I wouldn't describe it as hurting. That said, you know, kind of any of these things can, you know, kind of people can have allergic reactions to these things. So, you know, kind of it's just a general thing. I mean, the thing about jellyfish, be it moons or any of the other type, is that the sting is designed as a tool with which they can catch food. So the sting incapacitates their prey and allows it to eat them. So, you know, kind of they're not going around trying to sting people. For example, you know, kind of, okay. it's just the method that they have for, part of the method that they have for catching their food.
Okay, so the opposite extreme, the lion's mane jellyfish is the most dangerous species found in Ireland. May I ask you to describe how this one looks and, you know, how dangerous it is in terms of its sting?
Okay, so I mean, kind of the lion's mane jellyfish, I think, I'm not sure if it's the largest jellyfish in the world, but it certainly can be. I mean, it can have a tentacle length of several metres. Now, that is unusual. I mean, that's like saying that a human can grow to be, kind of 7 feet, you know, kind of, there's a few really tall people, but the majority of people aren't that tall. And it would be the same in lion's mane. They are large jellyfish. They get their name because from a distance, they actually do, because they're brown, they have long tentacles, they do look like a bit like a lion's mane. So they are quite large. I mean, you're kind of, you'll not miss a lion's mane jellyfish when you see one. You know, kind of, they'll generally have a bell at least the size, you know, kind of the diameter of a football. And obviously they would have much, much longer tentacles. And the tentacles, the sting is quite severe. And there again, if you have an allergic shock or an anaphylactic shock or something like that, it can be fatal. But again, the thing is to, you know, kind of just stay away, because jellyfish and most species of jellyfish are actually quite poor swimmers, and they depend on the current in order to move along and stuff like that. So if you are in the water and you do see jellyfish, if you're a stronger swimmer as a general rule than the jellyfish, so just swim away is the advice.
Have there been many sightings of the lion's mane this year in Irish coasts?
Do you know what? It's difficult for me to answer that one. I know in previous years you do get a couple of big sightings, and, you know, kind of, and I've seen them along the coast, you know, kind of off the coast, you know, kind of off Dunleary and even Bray, and, you know, kind of up as far as, you know, kind of off Belfast and stuff like that. So there would have been some sightings, but I don't have a precise data on the number of sightings this year.
Tell us, Pat, about the Portuguese man of war. Whilst it's technically not a jellyfish, it is a close relative.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, kind of, it's a, I suppose it's a collection of organisms, you know, kind of that kind of work together. And arguably they have a more painful sting even than the lion's mane. Although, you know, kind of when you're in that area, you know, kind of more painful or less painful, it's all extremely painful. So, you know, kind of, it's you're rarely thinking, oh, that hurts more than that. You know, kind of, in either situation, it's a very, very strong sting. And consequently, it's a very dangerous thing, because your body will react, and you can have quite an adverse reaction, and it can affect your breathing and so on. And it can be fatal.
Yeah. So have there been many sightings of this one in Ireland?
People tend to find them washed up on the beach. So I have seen quite a number. I mean, kind of, you wouldn't see big blooms of them, big smacks of them. You tend to see them as individual creatures on the seashore. So I've seen definitely a number of sightings being reported, people taking photographs. And the thing about most jellyfish, they're quite beautiful to look at. You know, if you take away the risk, you know, kind of to your health, by not being careful, they are actually amazing animals. And they can have quite, I mean, kind of, and the Portuguese man of war, you know, kind of, is kind of a lovely blue purple color, so it actually can be quite attractive. But obviously it is very dangerous, and do not touch it and do not go near it.
Okay, so is it true that you can still get stung by a jellyfish even after it has been washed ashore, and in some cases even if they are dead?
Yes, absolutely. Because as I said earlier on, the thing is that in the tentacles, in effect, what the jellyfish has is they've got two types of, I'll describe them as hairs, you know, kind of. One are stinging hairs, which are used to incapacitate and you know, kind of knock the predator out of action. And then the other ones are kind of sticky hairs, you know, kind of so that the predator gets stuck and caught up in the tentacles, and then they get sucked in. So even if the animal, you know, even if it's dead, it's like a dead nettle, you know, you still hold a dead nettle. I mean, kind of the little hairs on the nettle still have the toxin in them, and so you touch that, it still gets onto your skin and it still causes a sting, it still causes a reaction. And it's the same in relation to the jellyfish. So the thing about it is, because it's not something that they actively do, you know, kind of, so they're not going around and deciding, oh, I'm going to sting that, but I'm not going to sting that, you know, kind of, it's indiscriminate in that sense. So it's just, if you brush up against those stings, you will feel the reaction to that sting. So regardless of whether it's alive, whether it's dead, you know, kind of, unless it's decomposed and you know, kind of, and the sting, you know, kind of, those parts of the tentacle, you know, kind of have turned to mush, you know, kind of stay, some tentacle stings, you know, kind of are not dependent on the animal being alive in order to be able to cause pain and discomfort to humans.
Okay, so it would be very important for anyone on the beach never to touch a washed ashore jellyfish, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
what advice, Pat, or tips would you have for anyone who may get stung by a jellyfish?
Wash the thing with seawater, actually, and then, you know, kind of rinse it with hot water, as hot as you can handle, because that then neutralizes. If you can't get seawater, you know, kind of distilled vinegar will do the job. The slight the acidic impact of the vinegar will counteract the sting as well. And obviously, then if you're suffering a reaction, go and get medical help. And don't follow the old wives' tale of peeing on a jellyfish sting, because that actually makes things worse, not better. And it's the same. Don't use fresh water. Seawater is much better. So obviously, generally, if you get stung by a jellyfish, you're close to the sea, use seawater. It is much more effective. But the HSE actually have lots of good advice, medical advice in relation to jellyfish stings. So I would say check out the HSE website, you know, if you need more details. But those are the very basics that no harm to remember.
Okay. So, Pat, in addition to all of this, swimmers have also been warned by Irish Water Safety about other creatures, and they are lurking below the surface. They are weaverfish. Tell us about this one.
Yes, weaverfish are kind of a small fish found in Irish waters, and they like to, they often just kind of bury themselves just below, you know, in the sand, you know, kind of below the water line. So kind of quite close to the shore. And what they have is as a defense mechanism on their dorsal fin, which is the fin on their back, they have a spine which is venomous. And in effect, if you're walking along the sand and you walk on a weaverfish and the spine pierces the base of your foot, it's very painful. You will really know all about it. It's very painful, and there again, unless you have an allergic reaction, it's not going to be, you know, kind of it's like being, you know, kind of sort of really bad bee stings or really bad wasp sting, you know, kind of something of that nature. So it is, you know, almost okay. Brings tears to your eye in terms of the level of pain, but it's not, I wouldn't describe it as dangerous as such. But it's like anything. I mean, the thing about it, you go onto the beach, you go into the water, you're going into an environment which is home to an awful lot of animals. Now, those animals will sometimes use, you know, kind of venom either as a defense mechanism, such as the weaverfish, or even as a prey catching mechanism, such as jellyfish. So the thing is, if you go onto the beach, if you understand that you're sharing, you know, kind of the beach with, you know, kind of with the home of lots of animals, and you understand how they operate, you can enjoy that environment, you can enjoy those animals, and you can still stay safe. But with weaverfish, if they're below the surface, if they're in the sand, there's not an awful lot that you can do. It's not massively common. I'm not, somebody might disagree with me and say that they've been stung by weaver fish quite a lot, but I don't hear of it an awful lot. But you do, you go onto the beach, you go into the sea, you have to be mindful that, you know, kind of, that sea belongs to other animals as well, and that the danger is not specifically to humans, because, you know, kind of, these animals are not going out of the way to harm humans, but they obviously, the marine world, you know, the natural world in general, you know, kind of, it's a dangerous place. It's full of predators and preys, and so prey need to have whatever defense mechanisms they can lay their hands on, as it were, in order to protect themselves. And, you know, kind of, they're not going to be able to distinguish between a real predator and just a curious person. And, you know, kind of, if they're buried in the sands, you know.
Okay, so this can be an issue. Sorry to cut across you. So this could be an issue for anyone paddling just along the water's edge in bare feet.
It could, you know, kind of, and it's like anything, you can take these things to extremes and think, oh my goodness, I'm never going to go onto the beach again because I'll never know what's going to happen. But, you know, kind of, that's the same in
going
onto a picnic and being concerned about being stung by wasps.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I think if you are being careful. Now, weaver fish, I think you're kind of closer to rocky outcrops and stuff like that. You're probably more likely. So if you've got a big long stretch of sandy beach, the risks are relatively low. But as I said, you know, kind of, it is a natural environment. There are animals out there that are trying to survive and thrive. And, you know, kind of, you go into their environment, you just need to be aware of what the risks are.
Right, so we leave it there for today. Pat, thanks again for joining us. Nice talking with you. All the very best. Do take care.
Thank you.
Now, that was Pat O'Sullivan, General Manager of Sea Life Bray Aquarium, talking about rising number of jellyfish in Irish coastal waters.